Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International with me, Sister Faiza Munshi, on this beautiful Wednesday morning. So we're talking now on New Horizons. We're talking about building ourselves up. This is a topic I think that certainly is something that we can relate to, every single one of us. And today my guest on the line is Karima Mnita, life coach and owner of Wellness on Elon. Karima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Sister Faiza, for having me on your show today. And thank you to all the listeners for listening in.
Alhamdulillah. I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation, inshallah. Now, the reason we're looking at the topic today is because in a world where everyone's lives, you know, we're consistently looking at people's lives from social media, from feeds, from Facebook, from everything else that's going on. We literally have people's lives at our fingertips. And as opposed to that building ourselves up, I think that's beginning to break us down as individuals. And I've had this conversation with so many people that say, you know, I sit on Instagram and I look at all these people and I think I'm such an imperfect mother, I'm such a bad mother, I'm such a bad salesperson, etc. So we're in a world where everything's at our fingertips, but it's starting to make things difficult for us. So give me your view, Karima, with regard to why this topic is so important for us, you know, this idea of building ourselves up.
Choosing this topic is phenomenal, and the timing of it is perfect. As you gave insight, we're in the age of Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp, it is paramount that we understand the challenges. And the more I think about it, the more I realize that the importance of getting our mothers, grandmothers, sisters, mothers-to-be to get a handle on this conversation now is paramount. When I see clients come in with their kids that need help, it's always me wanting to first build up the mothers and then tend to the clients. So I build up the mothers, I get the mothers to detach from Instagram, from Facebook, from influencers.
Sorry,
and
then can I just ask you? Sorry, Karima, can I just ask you, are you on a speaker or are you on your handset?
No, on my handset.
Okay, all right, there seems to be a little bit of feedback. We'll see if we can fix that in a minute. But if it doesn't come right, we'll just give a call back. But inshallah, let's just carry on. So in terms of what you see, is that we are, as adults, we're struggling, and then we've got the responsibility of bringing up our children on top of the, you know, the struggle that we find. So when you're saying, as opposed to before, where we'd bring children in and we'd say we just deal with children and the trauma that they're dealing with, or perhaps play therapy, whatever these people do, if kids are struggling, you think we actually need to take a step back and as adults need to be able to fix ourselves now first because of all of the pressure that we've got?
100%. If your mother, who's the last from what you learn at home, is falling apart and comparing herself and feeling challenged and weak about her value system, then what do the kids build on?
Absolutely. So what are some of the areas, you know, on an individual basis that we see, you're seeing individuals all the time in terms of your life coaching practice. What are some of the areas you see people on an individual level breaking themselves down about? So what are some of the main areas?
So with the Instagram age, please don't get me wrong, listeners, I am all pro-technology.
Absolutely.
So with Facebook, Instagram, when I look at it, it's actually just translated from when the moms used to sit outside. We all social beings, right? So in our days, when I used to grow up, it used to be that my mom would sit on the stoop in the flat and chat to the ladies, or on Sundays we'd go visiting. So the fact that we're interested in each other's lives, that's not changed. We've always been interested in other people's lives. We've always wanted to know what they're wearing, where they're going. That's normal. That's normal human nature. I think on an individual basis, what's happening is that this is a constant. Instead of being separated to weekend visits or an hour on the stoop, you're now doing it all the time, all day, every day.
So as opposed to a 4 o'clock tea, it's now from Tahajjud till Tahajjud.
Absolutely. We reach for our phones first thing in the morning. That's what wakes us up. And you see the messages.
I watched a video the other day, and it was so funny because this woman was saying that before we are even vertical, we have our phones ahead, you know, on top of us, That's what we're looking at it. Now, many women listening at home, now let's get on to the point of building ourselves up. Many of the women who are listening to the program right now at home, they're running their homes, they're doing what they normally do. But a lot of the times they find in conversation that people are finding it difficult to find value in themselves. Right? This idea of value is becoming a lot more important for whatever reason. Perhaps it's also because we have access to all of these talks and all of these, you know, things that, that people are doing, and so we feel that we don't have value. Where should people as individuals or women as individuals be searching for that kind of value?
I'd say in a short answer that the search for value is within yourself.
Mm.
I do not think it's without. And I want our listeners to understand that every person is going to have their own value system, their top three values, the things that they value themselves for. So whether it be your purpose in life, whether it be being an effective mother, whether, think of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, it would be being an effective leader, getting the message across effectively. Whatever individual values are, you almost need to write them down. I know a practice for my family is to create family values.
Mm.
So almost having a meeting with your kids, no matter how big or small they might be, they will participate. And you come up with a chart of family values where we value integrity and honesty, or we value hard work or hard working ethic, whatever it might be. There's no wrong value or right value. It's about what is your value. Because the moment you've identified your value, it doesn't matter if someone else criticizes you in areas that you don't value. Because you're clear about what your value system is. If mine is being a great mother, it doesn't matter if you criticize what a rubbish housekeeper I am. It's irrelevant.
Okay. So in terms of talking about this, it's very important to bring out the question of communication within homes and communicate, because many times it may be that maybe women are listening now and they say, okay, as a family, let's sit down and put some rules down, and everyone may look at them like, what's going on? How do we, if we are a family that does not communicate effectively yet, how do we first build ourselves up and then get to this point of sitting together and making rules? Because of course, if there's people listening into the program now and they go, okay, tonight we're sitting down and writing down our values as a family, everyone in the family may look at them like something's gone wrong. So where do we start? If we're not a family that sits together and converses and communicates and does this kind of thing, where do we start before we sit down and set our values down?
I think start with communicating about your process. So before I embarked on wanting to build my own character, I included my family in it. Even if they thought I was clueless or silly, I would say, you know what, I'm going to this life coach, and right now we're discussing integrity, and I've realized that I haven't been integrous in dealing with you guys. So I bring it up on a supper table, and I start popping it in so that the kids and the family start adjusting to this idea of it's okay to build our akhlaq and our character, and it's okay to own where we're not perfect, because all of us are on this journey, inshallah, to try and live the best possible lives that we can in this lifetime. And getting your spouse's buy-in or whoever you live with is obviously a bonus. I do understand that a lot of husbands out there might think this is unnecessary. So even if they don't have the buy-in, you talk. You're allowed to talk on your table about what you are processing and where you are at. And that sort of gets the communication going, because you can even turn it to someone else on the table and go, did you have a battle with anything today?
Mm-hmm.
And the first few times they might roll their eyes at you, but I promise you before long, they realize it's a safe place to share, and they will share.
And I think that's just the idea, is creating that safe space. And I think we can do a whole program about that on a separate day, definitely, about creating safe spaces, you know, et cetera, in terms of being able to communicate as a family and knowing where you can share. Because oftentimes people are so, you know, so busy in life, and it life carries on, so that these things, when you bring up also almost called soft issues, it seems like it's irrelevant. But in the bigger picture, it's more relevant than most of the other stuff that we seem to be going through. Karima, before I carry on, when I promo this program, a friend messaged me and said, please ask Karima what it is that a life coach is. because she said that oftentimes when she speaks to people, her idea of a life coach is a bit different, but people think it's sort of a quick fix to get things moving. What do you do, or what does a life coach do?
Okay, so as a life coach, you generally, what makes it different to a psychologist or a counselor or a therapist, because that's often the misunderstanding, is that psychologists encourage you to talk through your problems and find your solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Where with a life coach, you generally come in and there's something in your life that you feel is not working. It can range from a relationship to a career goal to even weight loss, anything at all that you feel is a stumbling block for you. You come in, you discuss it, and the life coach with you works on tools that can effectively be measured for you to be able to overcome this challenge.
And it's not a quick fix. It's something that you go through together and you kind of set goals and move forward, be productive, that kind of thing. Am I right?
Absolutely. And Faiza, I just want to say that for me, the test of the Ummah for this age, while we all have, alhamdulillah, been working on our practices of salah and doing our sunnah, for me, the test of this age is akhlaq and building character. So we focus so much, alhamdulillah, on practices. There's a number of sisters out there who are managing tahajjud, and I take my hat off to everybody and I applaud all of it. It's all important. But I think akhlaq has fallen by the wayside. And for me, I myself go to a life coach because I also want to improve my life and how I live and the character I display. So for me, the test of this age is akhlaq.
On that point, we're going to take a bit of an ad break, and we're definitely going to come back and talk more about building ourselves up, moving forward, and looking at what it's like in order to bring value and strength, and looking at our strengths and looking at our values. It's time for a bit of an ad break. When we come back, we talk more on this topic. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International with me, Sister Faiza Munshi, and my guest, life coach Karima Mita. Assalamu alaikum once again, Karima, and jazakallah for your time on today's program. So, Karima, I want to come to the point now of looking at women, and I often on the Wednesday morning programs talk about the fact that we're in a society and at a time where women are meant to be just so many things all in one. You know, it's not enough that she's a homemaker and she's a mother, but there's just value no longer placed on being a mom per se. It's not seen as enough in this world that we live in. What is this trend? I mean, it's become quite a trend that women have to be, even if they're at home, that they need to be running sort of a home business almost. So what has this trend done to women's view of themselves over the last few years?
Sister Faiza, this question is, I promise you, repeated with every client that walks through my door, that's a female and trying to juggle being a mother, being wondering what their purpose in life is, trying to make a difference, leave a legacy. So it's very important. But what I want to say is that the challenge in this comes back to creating the values that matter to you. So if you feel that in your top three values, making a difference in the world as a healer, a person who wants to speak to other women and uplift them, a person who wants to do law, whatever, if that is your value, then that works for you. You cannot compare with someone else. It needs to come from what aligns to my value.
So this idea of sitting down, understanding yourself, and writing down your values and what is important to you is really key to this idea of building ourselves up.
For me, that's the first step. Mm-hmm. For me, until you know yourself and you know what you value, someone else's criticism, someone else's achievement will always be something you're comparing yourself against. And you're going to fall short because everyone's values are different. So if someone is excelling in fitness and you're not feeling like you are fit or training or exercising, then you're going to be like, I'm not good enough. If someone else's value is being a phenomenal editor and journalist, and they are excelling in that, In fact, you actually become jealous of other people, and that leads to the discontent and breaking down of yourself.
And we spoke about, I mean, you mentioned the fact that there's a lot of value in social media, in your Instagram, in your Facebook, whatever it is that social media is, there's a lot of value in it, but there's also this flip side of the coin in terms of the social media that you're mentioning now. You know, if you don't know what your value is, and you're following a fitness buff, you're following someone who does the most amazing food, you're following mothers, you're following businesswomen, in every single one of those avenues, you're going to fall short if you don't know exactly where your value lies and where you're trying to move towards.
Absolutely, because you've been bombarded with people that are doing all of this apparently perfectly.
Apparently,
please remember
absolutely.
That.
Yes.
This is like attending a family wedding and a husband and wife and family jump off a really smart car and the husband and wife are holding hands and smiling at each other and everyone is dressed perfectly. It's not your life. It's just real for that moment. So these posts that we get on Instagram and pictures of the perfect food and the perfect body, first of all, a number of them have been edited, the lighting adjusted, and we think that people live this all the time so perfectly. Mm. What they're not talking about is the thousands of visits to the designer who got the dress wrong, the fights over the financial issues before the wedding. That's the part that's not being publicized.
Yeah.
And that's majority of real life.
It's the same thing as talking about building up a business or looking at someone who's already built up something that is, in your eyes, on social media, amazing, but not understanding the work that goes into it. And that's what we need to also talk about on today's program, is that what is the point? And we'll come to that just now, because I've got an important next question that follows up, is that, well, before we talk about this building ourselves up and what are the steps that we can take, there's two sides. There's a woman that's sitting at home as a stay-at-home mom that used to be valued totally in days gone by, who's now questioning her value and feeling that she's not doing enough. On the other side of the coin, there's women who are working, and I meet them so often, who are beating themselves up and saying, you know what, I can't be at my child's soccer practice, cricket practice, swimming, whatever it might be. I'm unavailable to them. So there's the other side of the coin. Working mothers who are making some sort of a difference in their own careers or their own lives, having some sort of value, but then beating themselves up over the home front. How are you going to get this puzzle right?
For me, I think our dean gives us the answer. Everything in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's truly that balance. It is that balance. Just, you know, Faiza, as a life coach, I tell my clients, moms, working moms, if you spend 15 minutes of quality time is uninterrupted. No phone, no TV, not doing homework with your child, just being present and listening to whatever that child wishes to share with you, connecting with him or her, looking at her face, connecting with her eyes. If you do that with each of your children 15 minutes a day, I think you're an awesome mother. And it's because quality time is undervalued. We're so busy wanting to do things with our kids. We think we need to take them somewhere, get them enrolled for a course or an extracurricular. It's just sitting. Put them on your lap, hold their hands, just hear them. That is an awesome mother. And really any working mother will even tell you 15 minutes for each child a day is very doable. But find that balance. And
that's
another
very
thing
interesting
I think
you say that about working mothers, because I think those who are staying at home right now may actually say, you know what, I may be at home, but I don't make that 15 minutes either to spend just individually with my child, because there's always a distraction. So for those who stay at home, they know there's always a distraction, there's always work, and there's always something to be done. So I guess this could be something that we give both to those who are working or not working, running home business, whatever it might be, is being able to spend that time. If you're feeling inadequate as a parent, just to be able to spend that few minutes every day with each child, just being present.
100%. When you get feedback from kids, that's their favorite thing. A child will come and tell me many, many times, when my mom just listens to me, or my dad just sits with me, without their phone. Do you know how many times kids say, I hate when my mom talks to me while she's on her WhatsApp?
Yeah,
and I promise
imagine.
You, I'm to blame first. It's a challenge. But really, it's something we need to emulate, because we will teach our kids the value of putting your phone away and connecting with the people who are actually in front of you.
Absolutely. I just want to go to some of my Facebook comments, and you can just bring give your feedback on that, and then we'll go on to the other questions. Aisha says, such a need for every individual to know themselves and to acknowledge the fact that there is always room for growth, inshallah. And then Mumtaz says, I find that people don't have the time or feel the need to build themselves up. We sometimes don't see the importance, as we were never taught that we matter.
100%. I can tell you, I'm actually a CA Pfizer. So I have studied accounting. I've done that. I've done life coaching. I've done kinesiology. I can tell you, not in any lesson, even in university, did someone stop and say, how much do I know myself? And for me, that brings me to the tool that I always tell my clients. Do inner child work. That's what it's called. So inner child work is connecting with the child inside yourself and actually getting to know her. Because inside all of ourselves, if we actually close our eyes and we try to connect to a younger version of ourselves, we will find an image that we'll be able to conjure up of ourselves from years before. And if we treat that little girl inside ourselves as a little sister, we will actually get to know her. We will treat her with compassion and care, and she'll complain to us about things that bother her.
So this would be our starting point. It's that sort of our day one, point one of trying to build ourselves up. It's just going back and understanding who we were as younger individuals.
Younger individuals and learning to honor ourselves. So the inner child work is about, if your younger sister or your best friend had to come and tell you that her knee is sore, or that she really did badly by forgetting to pack her son's lunch, What would you say to her or him?
You would generally, yeah.
Tell me what you'd say, Pfizer.
So I would say to someone else, I'd probably say, you know what, it's not a big deal. Everyone makes a mistake, everyone forgets. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you had to do it, what would your conversation in your mind be to yourself?
Yeah, there's the guilt and not feeling good enough, and suddenly one small thing you become inadequate as a mother, unfortunately.
Exactly. Yeah. You see the difference we have, and it's because we have no empathy or no honoring of ourselves. So by doing the inner child work, connecting to the child, the little girl that still lives inside of you. Whether you're 60, 40, there's that little girl. And she deserves your empathy. And she deserves your forgiveness and your understanding. Before you can give it to anyone else, you should give it to yourself.
So it's an interesting way of looking at things. If this happened to someone else, like you said, if this was my best friend, my sister, what is the advice, or what would I say to her, especially when we get so used to beating ourselves up about every small thing? So what you're saying is be empathetic, as opposed to, we're always taught to be empathetic towards everyone else, see what everyone else is going through, understand them, but also to be empathetic towards ourselves is more important. That's 100%. Our starting point.
100%. Okay. Catch your thoughts. As soon as your thoughts are, how could you, Pfizer? As soon as that happens, you go, okay, if Pfizer was my best friend, I wouldn't say that to her. What would I say?
I think about it, it's like chalk and cheese, what I would say to someone else and what I often say to myself. It really is, honestly. So it's definitely a thinking point as we go to our next break. When we come back from the set of ads, inshallah, we're going to talk about some of the avenues that we can build our strengths on, and also perhaps just find out from Karima about her wellness channel, the wellness on Elon, and what it is that they do. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International with me, Sister Pfizer Munshi, and my guest Karima Mita from Wellness on Elon, talking about the topic of building ourselves up. Karima, in terms of talking about avenues of building ourselves up, I think one of the main points would have to be finding our strengths. Where is it that you think we can start in terms of finding our strengths?
To me, a tool that I often share, Sister Pfizer, with my clients is It's quite funny. Finding your strengths are finding yourself or part of the journey. So write down some of the challenges that you faced in your life. It can be overcoming the death of a loved one. It can be a divorce, a difficult relationship with in-laws. It can be anything. Anything that you in your life so far have overcome. So you write down these challenges that you faced, and then you picture back to this best friend. You picture your best friend telling you about these challenges that she's faced and how she's overcome. So you're almost having this conversation with yourself, but you're picturing your best friend opposite you sharing these challenges that she's overcome. What would you say to her? Those are the things I want you to write down. Because you would possibly tell her, wow, I really admire you. Wow, you were so patient. Oh my God, I couldn't have done that. Or those were the kinds of things that you tell her. And you will find in that conversation, you will find that she will highlight what your strengths are. Because she's going to tell you, you were so patient. You were so strong. You were so resilient. You were persevering. You were so resourceful. You managed to distract yourself so well and take your attention away from it. And those are where you will find your strengths in character. If you're looking for strengths in terms of direction of life or career, I often even tell my clients, no matter how old they are, we often think career counseling is only for teenagers that are embarking on their university degree. I often tell my clients, go to a career counselor, because career counselors are often the people that will tell you what your strengths are in terms of life purpose and in terms of career. So for me, those are the two best ways to identify strengths.
Okay. And when we identify our strengths, we oftentimes we are trying to almost get away from that which is negative, I think, you know, in terms of we often so harsh on ourselves and so hard on ourselves. But that also comes because caring about what other people think of us is so ingrained in every single one of us. So we often have people in our midst who may be very either controlling, very negative, who may say things that really that we internalize as our truth, and we're unable to get rid of these sort of negative, toxic thoughts. How do we start, or how do we start then to get rid of that in the process of trying to find our strength as well?
I think this these voices that we allow in, Sister Baza, I'd say build up that voice inside yourself, because you know it's backed up by Allah's love for you. And I always think of it, I always think Allah's created me the way, and He looks at me the way I look at my child. So if my child is of me, I look at my child with the greatest love. So when my son, who is a messy eater, messes when he eats, I even find it endearing. I can look at that weakness in him, and I can find love in my heart for it. Because when he grows up in 5 years' time, he's not going to miss, and I'll probably miss it. Yeah. And that is, in my mind, the way Allah looks at me. So if Allah looks at me and loves me in that way, what anyone else thinks cannot be internalized by me.
It's so important to look at it from that perspective, is understanding that, you know, many times, I mean, we're so hard on ourselves. We need to understand that Allah is forgiving, Allah is merciful. And so we need to also have that sort of mercy on ourselves to start off with, as opposed to just looking at being so nice and so good to everyone else, but internally we're breaking ourselves down on a continuous, everyday basis.
Isn't that the wakul, though? Isn't that trusting that Allah loves us and Allah is there for us?
Absolutely.
So when we're reading our salah, at the end of our salah every day, five times a day, picture Allah looking down at you with the greatest compassion and love, the way you look at your baby in your arms. Picture Allah looking down at you with that fondness and that love, and then it won't matter what anyone thinks about you, because you have the greatest, most powerful, most awesome looking at you with love.
Absolutely, and it's such an important way to think of it. And, you know, so as we move forward, I think we need to realize and understand from what you've been saying through the program is that we need to start internalizing or starting with the point of loving ourselves, understanding what is important to us, what we value, and from that slowly build up. I think you often mention, you know, when we talk about writing, and how important writing is to many people. I just, before we end today's program, we've just got a few minutes. I'd just like to talk to you briefly about, you mentioned that you've also got a wellness center that is very recently opened. Can you tell us briefly about the center and what it is that you're hoping to build from it?
Okay. This is a center that my husband is a medical doctor and I'm a life coach, and I always find in my life coaching practice that I'm constantly referring clients to get blood tests when they're not feeling well physically, and then I refer them to a dietitian so that they eat well. I refer them to a fitness trainer so that they exercise, because these are all aspects of ourselves that we try to bring into balance in our lives, on top of the spirituality which I bring into my life coaching practice. So with that was the idea of a wellness center, where you come to one venue and you get a bit of everything. So we've got a dietitian here, alhamdulillah. We've got a medical doctor, my husband, and then there's another GP that practices here, Dr. Aswan. And we've got a health and coffee shop where you can stop by and get nutritious meals, because what we put in is what we get out, and our bodies are amanas, so we should put in good stuff into our body if we expect to get good stuff out. And then there's also a fitness trainer and a gym. So the wellness center was born out of that idea, and that's where we're at. At the moment, we're looking for biokineticists and maybe an occupational therapist, because we've kept two rooms aside for that, so that it's a one-stop shop for families.
Okay. And if anyone wants to find out more about it, they just go to your, where do they look for you, on Facebook or Instagram? What
exactly. I'm on Instagram, on Elon, and then I also have a website. It's www.wellnessonelon.
Okay. And So that's the information with regard to the wellness center. Before we finish up today's program, Karima, I just want to ask you, when it comes on an individual basis, if somebody is listening today and feels overwhelmed about what everything that we've said, perhaps, you know, they've taken a lot in of what you've said on today's program, what would you say is the one thing that they could do for the next week or continue on a consistent basis to be able to just take step one? What would you say is that one single step if somebody is feeling overwhelmed after listening to today's program?
I would say journal. That is always my go-to point.
Yes.
So journaling for me, I always tell my clients, write down P, M, and E every morning. And P is physical, M is mental, and E is emotional. And just check in with yourself. How do I feel physically? How am I feeling mentally? How am I feeling emotionally? And then that generally stimulates conversation and gets you starting to journal, and journal to Allah. Journal to Allah, talk to him, create a conversation, because you will journal to yourself. That is the way for me to find yourself.
It's been wonderful chatting to you, Karima. It's been awesome having you on the program, inshallah. I'm sure we'll have you in the future talking about these sort of interesting but also sometimes difficult topics for people to internalize. It's been an absolute pleasure. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah, Sister Fariza, wa alaikum wassalam.
To our listeners, that brings us to the end of today's program on Radio Islam International. For me, Sister Fariza Munshi, it's wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.